Welcome back to another episode of Whiteboard Weekly. Jason Ackerman here, along with the artist, Carl Eagleman. What's up, Carl?
I'm good. How are you doing, man?
Everything is great. I'm excited, as always, to dive into another one of your amazing drawings. Your drawings have, in my opinion, really stepped up lately. Like, super amazing drawings, great quality, loving them. I know the listeners and the 220,000 followers of Whiteboard Daily can really see the difference as well.
This is the reason why I hang out with you or that we're doing the podcast so much, is because I just like hearing you just make me feel good about myself. You have all these nice compliments. thank you very much, man. It's just like CrossFit, or just like Olympic weightlifting, or just like writing poetry or painting. Like, the more you do it, the better you get. And so I just I do a lot of drawing, and so the more drawing I do, the better I get. I did just recently upgrade to I guess I'm kind of half in, half out, but making the jump to going to all digital sketches. I just got an iPad. I'm using Procreate. It's really opening up it's making things much more efficient when it comes to kind of providing coaches specific drawings of what they're looking for. So yeah, man, I'm excited about how Whiteboard Daily is kind of going to this next level, and hopefully the people like it too.
I mean, the drawings look way more crisp, in my opinion. And you know, we've got a few pretty cool projects coming out shortly.
Yeah.
You know, we can kind of give some names, the Book of Cues, some other workbooks, and the iPad is going to allow us to really make that even better. You know, some of the requests we get all the time are like, hey, can you compile all of the squat drawings or all of the overhead or Olympic lifting drawings into one book? Well, yes, that's coming, as well as a really awesome workbook that's going to help any coach develop and any coach improve. Were you always creative? You know, you mentioned poetry, you mentioned, you know, painting, etc. Was drawing always your passion, or are you a poet and we just didn't know it?
No, I'm definitely, yeah, of course you got to say that. No, I don't know. Drawings have always been part of my blood, part of my who I am. And, my parents are always, they always encouraged art growing up. And there's always crayons and markers and paper and paint and all that type of stuff around the house. And so it was always always highly encouraged. And my brother, for example, I've got two younger brothers. The middle one, both are very, very artistic. The middle one, he's actually an industrial designer by trade. And so he draws for his living. And so it's not really uncommon, or it's not really a surprise that I would kind of get into something artistic like this. I never really would have guessed that it would combine two of these things that I really love to do, which is drawing and, of course, CrossFit and Olympic weightlifting and just functional training, that sort of thing. So to combine these two worlds, it's really, it's a cool dichotomy.
Well, and I think what's interesting about it is your drawings are very similar to CrossFit in the sense that people watch, you know, the games are coming up. Actually, yeah. People are listening to this episode. They were last weekend. Yeah. So we'll see who wins. But someone that doesn't do CrossFit will throw on the CrossFit games. They'll see the athletes running or lifting weight. And they're like, I can do that. And we've talked about how many people over the years have come up to me and said, you know, I want to go to the games. You know, what do I need to do? Like, this is their first time at CrossFit.
Yeah.
And, you know, we really are proponents of, you know, raising everyone up. And you'll see in our stories, if you do a drawing and you tag Whiteboard Daily, we're going to share you. But there is a difference, no different than CrossFit, between me and Matt Frazier. No matter how much I practice CrossFit, I'm the guy, you know, whose stick figure, you know, you can kind of make out, versus Matt Frazier, who is the Whiteboard Daily of drawings. So I think, you know, it's one of those things where people don't always appreciate how good your drawings are and how long they take. Someone will reach out and say, hey, Carl, can you draw this, you know, this and that, and expecting it to take like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You're aware of the anatomy. You're aware of, like, hey, the torso relative to the femur, relative to the foot. Yeah. Like, those are little things that, you know, take a standard drawing and make it virtuosity in drawing?
Well, it's, I've got my master's in kinesiology as well. Like that's just, and I only say it just to kind of communicate that like movement, kinesiology, biomechanics, ergonomics, like these are also big, massive interests of mine. And so I think that it helps me understand how to draw something as simple as a stick figure when it comes to joint angles and limb length and force application, all those things as well. So it really, Whiteboard Daily really just combines so much of who I am into one little Instagram account. And I'm just so thankful that it provides value for people. It truly is, Jason. It truly is an honor to draw cool things, things I love to do, and to see that it helps people. So I'm just very thankful for this opportunity. So yeah, man, well, good stuff.
And I hope you know the feeling is mutual. I was in a place where I was like kind of doing things I didn't enjoy. And then when you and I started talking and doing this podcast and working on things, you know, I was reminded of my passion for fitness, for CrossFit, and for coaching others. So without further ado, let's dive into this. Like you said, this is the first time we're going to look at a rowing drawing. I'm not the best rower in the world. You, on the other hand, have competed at the Crash Bees, but this was reposted on November 15th, 2019. So for those of you that want to see the image, November 15th, 2019, with the title, Keep It Between the Bolts. Coaching cue, Keep It Between the Bolts. One of the best features of the Concept 2 Inc. ERG is the athlete receives immediate data feedback on power output through the monitor. Additionally, the Concept 2 Indoor Rower provides a visual aid to help the athlete keep the chain level. Concept 2 specifically designed the ERG with two bolts on the indoor rower's chain guide that can literally guide the chain. Use the mid-distance between these two bolts, navigational beacons, as a guide in and out of each stroke to help keep the chain level. That's, you know, talk about low-hanging fruit when it comes to coaching the row.
Yeah. You're absolutely like, okay, as a coach, you just said what we say a lot of times is like low-hanging fruit. Like there's no sense in making things harder than what they need to be. Like find out what's in front of you and go for that low-hanging fruit and work your way up from there. When you're a coach, especially a young novice coach, and you're teaching something that you might not know very much about, you need to grasp a hold of those things that are easy for you to communicate to other people. When you have your athletes sitting on the rower, you're going to make them feel like you are a phenomenal coach if you can just like say, hey, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be steady with your stroke, and it's easy to see how steady you are if you're looking at the two navigational beacons, these two bolts, and if your chain stays between those, we're in good shape. But if you're slapping that chain all over the place, if it's making noise, you need to rein it in a little bit. Again, low-hanging fruit. This is an easy one for coaches to identify, to communicate to their athlete. And I think it also, and we'll get into this later on, I think it also translates into, again, moving with a purpose and not getting ahead of ourselves. And I think, was it last week when we talked about intensity threshold? This kind of plays a key part in that as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we actually even, if my memory serves me, kind of mentioned this a few times in past podcasts, because as I've said, I'm not the best rower. I've got some experience. I talked about how I went to the Concept 2 seminar and I was working out with the founder. Yeah. And this is a cue that I almost always, every time there's rowing in a workout, because it's so easy. It's, hey, it's not like worry about the tempo. It's not look at this on the monitor. It's literally just keep this chain between these bolts. And you said this here, I'm curious to say if this is true or you made this up, but what do you know for certain that it was specifically designed with those two bolts for that guide? Or is that Whiteboard Daily?
It's an urban legend. No, I really honestly think that I wouldn't have written up a caption unless I did the research for it. And I really am positive that I did find somewhere, I'm sure it was on Concept 2's website, of it communicating these two bolts and how it's important to keep the chain between these two bolts when you're erging. So yeah, I wouldn't have said it unless it wasn't, unless it was true. So yeah, I'm not even trying to make anything up here. Like, this is a genius that should be attributed to the makers, the creators of Concept 2, the rower. And it also, it kind of makes me wonder, there are many other rowing machines that are on the market now, which are comparable to the Concept 2 erg. And I wonder if they do, if they have got any kind of visual guide as well. I don't know. Do you?
I mean, I've been on other rowers, yeah, but I don't know whether or not they have those guides. And I think you're right. I think it's one of those things that separates the best from kind of the wannabes. And some of those rowers are great. You know, I certainly wouldn't talk bad about them, whatever company is making them, but there's a reason Concept 2 has been and probably will continue to be the go-to rower in the CrossFit world.
Yeah.
And a reason, think about this. It's one of the very few things Rogue hasn't stepped in on. Mm-hmm. And what that tells me is, hey, they're doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. Yeah. And I think it goes back to, 100%. I can't argue with that at all. Because
think about it. They came in and smashed the assault bike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, when there's any given workout with a bike, I go to the assault bike because it's easier.
Yeah.
It's easier than the Echo bike.
Well, I did another, that's a good point that you bring up. I did another post that talked about the amount of technique to generate power output and how I rated, like, the erg was the highest. Like, you need a super high amount of skill to really generate the maximum amount of power for an erg, a rowing erg. And then the next step would be, like, you need less amounts of technique on the ski erg. And then I think you also would need less amount of technique than the ski erg for the an air bike or assault bike or echo bike, because really what you're doing when you're jumping on one of those is that you're just like, it's just handles and legs or arms and legs. You're just like moving stuff. I mean, everything's on a fixed track. You don't have to worry so much about technique. You just haul off and go for it. If you're looking at the ski erg or if you look at the rower, there's so much other movement that's involved that you need more technique. I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I completely get what you're saying. And that's, you know, it's the reason that whether it's your first time at the box or your millionth time at the box, everyone can smash themselves on the bike. And it's such a great tool for that reason. You know, when a new person comes to your affiliate or you're coaching them for the first time and you want, like, it's hard. Like, if I gave you Fran and you're new, you don't understand and you quite frankly just can't work hard enough to understand the pain that Fran should put you through.
Yep.
Because you don't have the technique. But I can say, get on this bike and give me 1 minute of max effort. And they'll, you know, by the time you're done, you'll be like, I'm okay. 8 seconds later, your body's like, the lactic acid is flowing through you. So it's a great tool for that reason. If you just don't like someone and you want to smash them, but, you know, or hey, start off here and then take them through something so they already get that little bit of pre-fatigue. Yeah, you definitely need better technique on this rower. I want you to do your best job, Carl, right now to explain to those. This is something we went over at the Concept 2 seminar, and I get it to some extent, but I want you to explain the power curve that you see on the monitor for those watching, because it's a great tool for the coach that we rarely look at. I mean, most people look at one of two screens on the monitor, their meters or their calories, just depending on what the workout is. But you can actually look at either of those with your power curve and get a better understanding, if Carl explains this well, of what that's actually showing you. I would tell you this, you know, we don't have the brightest listeners, Carl. So you got to explain it like you're explaining it to a five-year-old.
Okay. Well, geez, my first example was going to be, this is how it was explained to me. You want to see like a waterfall with the power curve. And that means that it starts off tall and it drops down, starts off tall, drops down, starts off tall, drops down. And what that means is that you are initiating your catch with the maximum amount of power, and then it's going down from there. And that's fine, because if you were to take like the surface area, the volume of that graph, and compare it to the other two that I'm about to talk about, you would see that there's more power that you could fit in that type. Okay, so if you can imagine that, for some reason, I always think of, like, do you remember the Audi TT? It's a car. And
Carl, I'm not a huge car guy, but if I could get any car, that's the one I would get.
Okay, so it's got a very distinctive front end, right? And it drops off. That curve of the front end of the Audi TT Roadster, it's a waterfall type of front end, okay? That's what I always tried to emulate on the power output for a Concept 2 ERG. Now, if there is a delay in you pushing into the foot stretchers and opening up your hips and extending your legs, opening up your hips, you will see a valley before you get to a peak, and it's going to go back down. Okay. So it kind of looks like a mountain. We don't want a mountain. We want, again, the waterfall to come down. And then the other one that I've kind of described too is it's even like, it's all arms really. So it's like an even bigger valley, and it goes up to a massive little spike, or not even a massive spike, but a little spike with where the arms would pull, and then it dips down after that. So out of the three types of graphs that I've described, probably not very good detail, but
no, you've done that. I think that was really well.
What we're looking for is a waterfall. When you look at that the power output on that graph that comes up on the monitor. I've drawn up that cue or that type of coaching education point in a previous post that we can dig up somewhere. Maybe that might be worth reposting sometime soon. I posted it one time a long time ago, and it didn't get very big of a response. And I was like, oh, I mean, it was cool to me, because it's something that if you are into rowing, you would appreciate, but not many people really are, because it's such a hard thing to do.
So let's talk a little bit more about this rowing form. You know, right now we're just sticking to, hey, keeping the chain between the bolts, but really a few other things have to happen correctly for that to go down. Most importantly is the movement sequence. And I think people forget, or maybe don't make the connection, the stroke on a rower is almost identical to a sumo deadlift high pull. And back in the day, you couldn't just get rowers. I bought a Concept 2 B model. That was the first rower I bought, which, for those that are unfamiliar, it's wood.
Yeah, wooden handles.
And it's one piece.
Yeah.
So you can't even put it upright, et cetera. Yeah. So they've been around for a long time. But if you couldn't get a rower back when you opened a box, the substitute every 10 meters was a sumo deadlift high pull. So if you're doing
just a 45 pound bar, right?
Correct. So, correct. So, you know, if you're doing a 250 meter row, 25 sumo deadlift high pull. And you think about it, the way we typically describe it on the rower is legs, body, arms, arms, body, legs.
Yeah.
And the better you do that sequence, A, we're looking at hip extension before bending the arms, as Coach B would say, you know, when the arms bend, the power ends. Yeah. So if we're not pulling early, chances are the chain's going to stay straight. But then also coming back the same way of arms, body, legs. So letting those arms come down, then flexing at the hip, then bending the knee. So we want to see that proper sequence, both pulling as well as recovering.
Yeah, I think another really good cue that would help people keep the chain between the bolts is something I've reposted recently, and it's 1-2, and that's the ratio of work to rest when you're on the rower. And what that means is that if it takes you 1 second to go on a stroke, then it should take you 2 seconds on the recovery. Okay, and a lot of people, they have like a 1-1 ratio, where it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, really quick. And when you start to do that, A, it's inefficient in the power or the work to recovery sense, but it's also inefficient because you start to let yourself kind of get out of control with that chain, and which is a it's a sign that the rest of your body is not working smoothly. And again, what we talked about before is slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Yeah, I think if someone's listening, they're coaching, they've not taken the Concept 2 course, so they're not super familiar with coaching rowing, those three things are what I would start with. A, watch the chain between the bolts.
Yep.
B, watch the arms, legs, body, arms.
Yep.
Arms, body, legs. Something to look for on the way back often is people will bend their knees right away.
Yeah.
And then the oar or the handle has to then travel around your knees, which would of course wobble the chain. And then lastly, and probably the most valuable as far as improving A, your power, like Carl spoke about, but then B, your efficiency, is that tempo. Yeah. People just try to go crazy. And that tempo of that 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. And what you have to remember about that is it's like music. It's a tempo, which means it's okay to speed up the tempo.
Yeah, exactly.
But the rhythm doesn't change. 1, 2, 3, exactly. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 versus 1, 2. It's still even.
Yeah.
And, you know, so for example, if you're doing a 2K row, I'm interested to hear, let's talk about this for a moment. When I do a 2K row, I typically break it into three segments.
Yeah.
I say, all right, guys, you know, what's your goal? Let's call it just for even numbers. I want to hit, you know, like a 7:45, 8 minute 2K. I would say, all right, I want you to get out there and push that 500, you know, at probably like a 150 to 155.
Yeah.
Right. So that means you're doing that 1, 2, 3 with hard pulls, breathing, recovery for 500 meters. That middle chunk called section 2 of 1,000 meters, I need you to find that stride of about 2, mm-hmm. right? And again, this is moderate. This is a short guy, 2K row. This is me doing a 2K row. And that's where like, hey, I'm hanging on. I'm pushing myself, but I'm leaving a little gas in the tank, because then we go to that last 500.
Yeah.
And right. I'm like, you need to hit that go. Yeah. That's where the tempo, you're doing more strokes per minute potentially, but you're still recovering 2 to 1.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How would you break down a 2K row?
Well, it's funny that you asked, because I really spent a good chunk of my time, actually my good chunk of my life, actually just focusing on that distance on the rower and competitively training for that. And I kind of broke it down into five sections. So you got your first 500, where you really are just kind of, it's a pretty full on 500, but you're not going completely balls to the wall. Again, so this is in my PR, I was going for a sub-6 2K. That's like the gold standard. If you want to make the Olympic team, you know, they're not even going to consider you unless you're under a sub-6 2K.
And that's, I was nuts. Like,
yeah, it is nuts.
Nuts to me.
And also check out some of the world records that are on the Concept 2 website. You'll be blown away by some of the rowers out there and what they are posting. And because that's what I used to do back then. I was like comparing myself by my age and my gender to like the other people in my category, whatever. But anyway,
I just did a quick Google search. It says Josh Dunkley Smith broke the men's heavyweight 2000 meter record. 535.8.
Yeah. 535.
Ridiculous.
But I think there's even faster ones than that. Even, and
this is also 2018, so there may be a faster one.
Yeah. So, but anyway, the fastest 2K that I've ever rode is a 6:11. And I did that in a competition. And what led me up to the competition and the way that I saw the 2K visualized it was these five sections. The first 500, which is really, it's a heavy pace. You don't want to completely blow yourself out, but you really want to get after it, because you've got some stored energy that you can use during that time that you're not going to get back. The second 500, I kind of see it visualizing as me going out and back. Okay, so first 500, second 500 is I'm settling into my pace. And it was probably, like, I think like 133, 134 or so. And I was like, okay, just stay comfortable with this. Legs back, arms back, legs. And you talk about legs, body, arms, arms, body, legs. For me, it's I say back. It's the same thing. But anyway,
basically, you're opening up your hips.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm making the turn at 1,000 meters. And I'm coming back. I know that you don't do that in a regatta or anything, but that's just how I would see it. I'm coming home now, right? And so that third 500 is like, okay, let's hold the line. Really is what it is. Hold the line. And then you get to I divide the last 500 into two 250 segments. One where I'm kind of getting ready for that final 250. And I'm just kind of like preparing myself. And then the last 250 is really just, you're just dumping everything you have into the final 250 to get everything done. And that's where the pain really, really sets in. So actually by then the pain's already so deep that you're just, is it Teddy Roosevelt who says, like, if you're going through hell, keep on going.
That's a great quote, because it's like, yeah, when you stop is when you actually feel it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that quote always kind of stuck in my mind, especially when I was doing time trials, when you're going through hell, just keep on going, because you need to get it done. So another cue that I want to mention to the listeners, hopefully this helps, is to visualize the steps of the rowing sequence as stairs. And you can't skip a stair. And what I mean by that is you got three stairs, your legs, back, and arms. And then once you're at the top of the stairs, you're turning around and it's arms, back, legs. And you never want to jump to, say, legs to arms or vice versa. Because when you start to move outside of that sequence, you start to get into inefficiency. And again, too, like just like Coach B has said, and I know other coaches have said this, but to me, it's like a Coach B quote, when the arms bend, the power ends. And so we want to make sure that we're maximizing all of the power through the core, through the extremity, prior to hitting the recovery. So much going on with the row, man. And it's just like Olympic lifting, man. So many joints that you're moving, and it's not fun, because it's hard work.
No, I you know, it's certainly one of those movements that gets neglected. I think I was telling you, I was on someone else's podcast recently and saying I was doing a class evaluation for the box here, and there was rowing in the warm-up and then again in the workout, and the coach didn't give any rowing cues.
Yeah.
And I said, why didn't you do that? She said, well, it's just the row. And I said, well, if your athletes are moving, you should be coaching them.
Mm-hmm.
So there was definitely something there. What do you think is the most painful distance on the rower?
That's a good question. I got to say 2K, just because of the length of time. A lot of people do 500 meter time trials, obviously, but you know, we're looking at a time domain of like between 125 and 145 or one, like something around that window. I guess it depends on your anthropometrics, but it's such a short time. I would take a 500 meter time trial over a 2K time trial any day, no question.
Agreed.
Yeah,
I think that 2K is that perfect distance of,
yeah,
you can be in that pain cave for a good chunk of it.
Yeah,
right. And really any distance can hurt.
Yeah,
depending on how hard you're willing to finish it. We saw that at the CrossFit Games this past, you know, in phase one,
yeah,
where, you know, some of those athletes walked it off and some of them, you know, crumbled off the rower. So
yeah,
it's really how hard you're willing to finish. I think after a 2K, I mean, obviously any distance in between, but the standards at 5K is not far off, because you can hurt for a good chunk of it, and then you mm-hmm. know you're gonna, you know, you're basically gonna finish with a hard 2K.
Yeah.
So yeah, but that, I'll tell you this, 2K is the workout I hate the most in all of CrossFit.
Yeah, no question. I am right there with you. And this is coming from a rower. Like, well, I'm not a rower anymore, but I, like I said, I rowed for a big chunk of my life, and still the 2K is something that I was like, no, please God, anything but this.
Fran twice, yeah, rather than doing this. And, yeah, you know, I was saying this to my class last night when I was coaching, you know, they were like, one of the ladies was like, does CrossFit ever get easier? And I said, for a very brief period of time, it gets easier. And then it immediately gets much harder.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, once you know the movements and like we've kind of discussed, you have that technique dialed in, you're more efficient. You have some metrics, you have some workouts you've done. Now, you know, A, how much they should hurt, and B, what you should be striving for. And that 2K is just perfect. Like, there, you know, obviously you need to refine that technique, but it's really just how much pain are you willing to be in for 6 to 8 minutes? You know, you said your best was 6:11. Do you think you actually touched your true potential, or do you think you can get more out of your body?
So yes and no. On my own, no, I don't think I could have done better than that. When I got off the rower, I was like, to think that I would have to cut 12 seconds off of what I just did to meet my goal on my own. And I was training by myself in my garage with just me and the Concept 2 and a phenomenal book called 75 Erg Workouts for Athletes, which we should put in the notes. I'm not sure if that book is even published anymore, but it's a phenomenal book. I would have to have some kind of formal coaching to get further, I think. Just like there's raw talent out there for anybody, you need somebody else to help you, to help guide you. And that's kind of the point where I got. And also too, I was like, the rowing workouts are some of the most grueling workouts in the world, that I got to the point where I was like, man, I kind of want to just have fun. And that's, I think, why I started doing Olympic lifting so much, is because it's just fun, man. I just love it.
Yeah, I just Googled that book. It's not available. It's always strange when a book is no longer available, which means sold out, and then, you know, they decided not to republish it. But I'm sure.
Who's the author? Is Mary something? Mary?
Oh, yeah, it was a woman. Yeah, I just got rid of the.
Okay.
Let me find it so we can give her a shout out here. Maybe Lisa. No, Lisa Schlenker.
So yeah, Lisa Schlenker. Yeah, that's right. Very cool.
Yeah. So. Keep it between the bolts. Fantastic cue. Again, I hope for those listening, especially the coaches, that's just one thing. Now, you know, we talk about it, and with everything, you know, that's why we always drive home, understand the points of performance, because it directs your eyeballs, you know, in the squat, look at the feet. Are they on their toes? Cool. Now we've got something to work with. This is such low hanging fruit. You just walk up. I'll walk up and I'll just kind of point at the bolts and I'll say, you know, hey, Sally, keep it between these bolts. And it's just one thing for her to think about now. And I think, you know, from a coach's perspective, it's just easy, low hanging fruit. Anything to add? Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, real quick. One thing. To me, it's like just as simple as showing the knurling on a bar to an athlete. Like, it's just simple. Like, it's there. Like, just at least acknowledge it, and your athlete is going to appreciate that probably more than what you even know. And you might be, it might be so simple that you might think it's not even relevant, but man, trust me, especially with your novice athletes, they're going to be looking for any kind of tips or advice or guidance that they can possibly get from you. So do your job, coaches, and help them out.
You nailed it, Carl. Fantastic drawing. Another great episode. Sounds like we've wrapped this one up, so I'll let you take us home.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Jason, for another great conversation. Thank you so much to the listener. Guys, we really appreciate your support more than what you even know. Hey, take some time. If you come across it, we'll make sure there's a link there. Check out our Patreon page. It's one way that we can get support to take Whiteboard Daily to the next level and expand the capabilities of what Whiteboard Daily can do. We are growing our team, and we are growing the offerings of what we can bring to you to help provide high quality coaching content. It's something that we're all passionate about. We want to help you become a better coach. So again, thank you so much for tuning in this week. I promise you we'll have an even better one next week. We love what we do, and we're so thankful for your support. And just like always, remember, a high tide lifts all boats. So together, let's keep on rising those tides. So thanks again. Talk to you next week.
Thanks again for listening to today's episode of Whiteboard Weekly. On behalf of Carl and myself, Jason Ackerman, We really appreciate the download. We really appreciate you sharing our episodes with friends, families, your box owner, your buddies at the gym, anyone that's willing to listen to us talk about all things CrossFit, all things coaching, and all things coaches development. We do this because we have an absolute love and passion for it, and we hope that you can tell that through our talking and through each episode. If you haven't already, please feel free to leave us a review on any podcast platform. It goes a long way in helping us spread the word. Once again, thanks again for listening.